Well, I want to start with just a short little movie trailer clip from 1990. I think you'll recognize the movie. But surprising to me how this scene speaks to the scripture we just heard read. So let's go ahead and see if it'll play. It's on the next slide. There we go. It's amazing to me how something that came out in 1990 can help us live into a scene from the Bible from the first century. But I see that these parents from Home Alone to me are like the modern-day Mary and Joseph, with this chaotic scene as they're trying to get everybody going in the right direction, but they've forgotten something, somewhere, something very important, as we see Kevin was left home alone. But it's not hard to put ourselves into these two stories, right? We've all had a moment where we've overslept. We've all had a moment where we've been late, where we've been hurried or rushed, where we've had a lot of things on our minds. Sometimes we've missed flights. Sometimes we've left the garage door open. Sometimes we've left children places. It's happened here at church before. It won't be the first time, and it won't be the last time. But if that's you, there is good news, because it happened to Mary and Joseph, too. The story from Luke chapter 2 is really a great one. It's full of family drama. There's a festival gathering. There's a happy reunion at the end where everything is wrapped up nice and neatly, and Jesus returns home and obeys his parents. Isn't that wonderful? But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what to do with this biblical text. I have been thinking about it for years. I've been turning it over this whole week. And this is one of those stories that stumps me. I sort of look at it, I read it, and then I say, what? What am I supposed to do with that? What are we supposed to do with a story where there's no quotable lesson and there's no verse to memorize, there's no big revelation about resurrection or redemption or compassion or healing? This is the kind of story that frustrates adults to no end. But I want to tell you that this kind of story enthralls children. You see, adults come to the Bible often with our agendas. I'm guilty of this. I want to know, what's the point? What's the main lesson? What is the one verse that I can take away and write on my mirror to memorize? Is it, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Or is it, for God so loved the world? We want the scriptures to tell us something and to give us something, and to please do it quickly, by the way, and concisely and clear. And there's nothing wrong with memorizing a scripture verse or wanting meaning from the Bible, but I want to suggest that if every time we read the scriptures, our first reaction is to try to squeeze something out of it to force a clear meaning, then we're doing the Bible a huge injustice. So this morning, I want to take a different route, and I want to suggest that we can learn something from the kids among us. Many of us here today know that we've been learning all month from the kids with this sermon series, Jesus and the Kids. Last week, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000, where we learned a lesson in generosity from a boy who shared what he had with Jesus, and Jesus multiplied it to feed thousands and thousands of people. And then 2 weeks ago, we heard Jesus say that the kingdom of heaven belongs to the children, and let them come to me. Today, I think that we can learn from kids how to read the Bible better, especially when it comes to these stories that stump us. Because children don't come to scripture with an agenda. Children let stories speak for themselves. Children put themselves in Mary's shoes as she's searching frantically for that child. And children put on Joseph's shoes when they hear Jesus say to Joseph, "Did you not know I would be in my father's house?" Children can live into the emotion of that moment. And perhaps most importantly, when children hear the Bible stories, they imagine and they wonder and they ask questions. Lots and lots and lots and lots of questions. So this week, I spent a few minutes with some of the kids from the church. And I wanted to hear what they had to say about this Bible story. I was testing my theory. And so I told them the paraphrased version of Luke chapter 2, and we walked through the story. And when I was over, I asked them what they thought. What are you wondering about in this story? And what was interesting, and perhaps not surprising, is they all had the first the same reaction first. They all looked at me and said, "How could Mary and Joseph forget Jesus?" Addison, who's 10, said, "How could they forget their child? My mom never lets my little brother out of her sight, even for like 2 seconds, because he breaks something." And then Abby, who was 8, she sort of turned her head to the side, and she said to me in this sarcastic tone, "Who forgets about Jesus? Jesus is the Son of God." And so I said to them, "Well, you need to know the historical context," and their eyes glazed over. But my explanation was that men and women, they traveled in these big groups to Passover as family and friends, and sometimes the women went ahead and the men lagged behind, not too uncommon. And Mary surely thought that Jesus was with Joseph, and Joseph surely thought that Jesus was with Mary, or that he was with a friend or a cousin, so they didn't notice. And the kids accepted that answer, and we moved on from historical context to funner things. And their questions next range from silly questions to profound questions, as kids so often do. One child thought that Jesus must have been having so much fun that he just lost track of time. And Reagan, who is 6, thought that maybe he was playing games in the temple. But then she said he would have had to make up his own games because they didn't have board games back then, so he probably had a great imagination as well. Brooke suggested, and this one I really loved, suggested that Jesus was busy teaching the priest in the temple about God, that maybe he was teaching them a verse from the Bible. And she rationalized this by saying, "Pastor Nicole, I know more about my dad than you do. For example, I know that he got up early this morning and he only likes orange juice and he went to work. So it makes sense that Jesus would know more about his dad than the priest did, right?" And Abby wondered how the priest felt when in walked this 12-year-old who had a greater understanding of the scriptures than themselves. And she said to me, "They were probably like, 'You're only 12. All of the kids I talked to said that this must have been a scary situation for Mary and Joseph, to lose a child. It must have been terrifying. And one child suggested that when Mary and Joseph found Jesus, and she put her hands up just like this, that they probably had mixed emotions. That they were probably proud because Jesus was teaching the priest, but they were probably also a little bit upset still, she said. So this is just a little bit of what our children think about when they hear this story. It just opens the story in such a wonderful way so that we can take so much from it. And now I'm wondering what you're wondering about from Luke chapter 2. What do you feel when you hear this story? What do you think about when you put yourself in Joseph's shoes or the priest's shoes or Mary's shoes? What would happen if we approach these stories of the Bible that so often stump us, and many of them do, like a child, with no agenda, no time period, no watch, no stop clock, but only with open hearts and an imagination? Did we just lose the microphone? Maybe I'll go grab another one. There we go. So I tried out this idea over the week, and I sat with this story. I listened. I asked questions. I looked at the story from new angles, hopefully like a child, and I came away with 2 points that I just want to humbly offer to you as things that this text spoke to me or that God said to me through this story. The first was for the parents and the caregivers among us today. You know, I continue to smile, and I also have a bit of relief about this idea that Mary and Joseph lost Jesus, because it puts my whole life in perspective, does it not? If the Holy Family wasn't communicating well enough to remember or figure out where their child was, or that they were so busy or running ragged that they lost the Son of God, then everything's going to be okay in my week. And I offer that to you with a sense of levity and humor, but also a bit of humility. And the second point that I kept hearing was a word for all of us who have experienced loss. And I don't mean just simply losing your keys. I mean a great loss. like the loss of your sense of safety or security, the loss of yourself, the loss of a relationship, perhaps even the loss of your faith. This story says to us that in those moments of loss, in that moment of panic and franticness, to circle back, and seek persistently, day after day after day. And sometimes even look in the most unexpected of places. I don't think that it's a coincidence that Mary and Joseph find what they are looking for in God's house. Many of us find what we are seeking when we come to this place as well. And I also don't think that it's a coincidence that Luke shares the story about Jesus being lost for 3 days, not two, not four, but 3 days, as his loved ones frantically look for him. And they finally find him in an unexpected place. Because to me, this sounds just a tad bit like Easter morning, where Jesus is lost and gone for 3 days, and those who love him finally find him in an unexpected place. And out of that story comes resurrection and new life. These are some of my thoughts and my wonderings. And now I'm hoping that you will help me continue this conversation. This is one of those sermons that ends open-ended with more questions than answers, and it's meant to be that way because part of what we do here is when we come through the doors, we lay down our agendas, and we hear the scripture afresh and anew, and we imagine and we wonder about it, and we're in conversation about it as a community of faith. And so this sermon ends with questions and with homework for all of you. Your homework is to sit with this text for a while, to read it, to pray about it, to listen with new eyes, to lay down your agendas, and then to join the conversation with this community of faith about Luke chapter 2 on the blog, on the new website. If you don't know how to get there, I'll be happy to show you. But we are going to be continuing the conversation all week about what you found and what you heard in this story. You can go to the blog. I've left a few questions there if you're somebody that needs some prompts. There's also a video of a group of people at a church doing the same exercise with Luke chapter 2, and it talks about the things they discovered in this text. It's really beautiful. So, friends, your homework is to participate and to add your voice and to allow us to learn from what God is speaking into your life from Luke chapter 2. So I'll see you on the blog, and may God meet us there, and may we have some holy conversation. Amen.